Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's time to record another podcast. Why? I'm not sure. Coming live from Tauranga, I'm your host, Guy Williams. With me, next to me, is Andrew Price.
Hello, everybody.
And we also have, direct from London, the UK, the mecca of basketball, it's Paul Williams.
I'm your host, Paul Williams.
The host, Paul Williams, sorry. Paul, what are you doing in London?
Yeah, what the hell? When have you been the host?
I was the first talker on the podcast. That makes me the host.
You just started talking first. I could have if I'd not.
Well, do you want to introduce the...
I'm in London. I'm doing a music show and I'm hanging out.
Okay.
And I've got a friend in a weekend musical.
None of this is relevant at all. Do you want to introduce the podcast?
Yeah. Okay. Welcome to Advanced Analytics. Play the sting.
This is a casual basketball podcast for the...
Boy, have we got an awesome episode lined up for you.
We've got rival hosts.
I'm your host, Paul Williams, and boy, oh boy, is this one going to be a good one.
At the moment, I feel like I'm courtside at like a boxing match or something.
Yeah, Andrew Price is here as a basketball expert, and Paul, you're having a blast in London town.
Well, yeah, it's very cold. And it's like 7:30 a.m. right now, so I'm still in bed because it's so cold outside of bed.
I still haven't
to stay under the sheets.
Have you thought about getting a heater?
They don't have them here.
They don't have heaters in your room or in where you're staying or in the town of London.
Seemingly in London, it's just everyone's just embracing the cold.
I find that hard to believe, but glad to have you here. It's a nightmare being an NBA fan if you're in the UK, am I right? Because the scheduling is so bad in the middle of the evening.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm finding that out firsthand. Like, so I currently don't know the second half of the Orlando Golden State game from last night because I had to go to bed to wake up at 7:30 for this. And
we won't spoil that ripper game, Orlando Golden State, for you.
Managed to watch the first half, but then eventually I was like, I've got to go to bed, or I'll be terrible on the podcast.
Well, you've gone to bed and you're still terrible on the podcast, so you should have stayed up, mate.
No, but yeah, it's bad times.
Good comeback. Like
the games start at midnight.
Yeah, Andrew, did you watch without spoiling it for Paul, who's in London and living off the Orlando Magic fumes? Did you watch Golden State Orlando, that massive game?
It wasn't on my list of games to watch.
It's actually a good game to watch at the end, so it's going to be exciting for you, Paul. You're in for a real treat. But today's game was the Mavs versus the Lakers, and I thought we'd start there with a segment that's known as
the week in review.
You said it right, the week in review. It was a ripper today. Andrew, did you watch it?
I watched segments of it. I didn't watch.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Considering.
Okay, don't say who won because I haven't seen it.
No, we've got to spoil this. You're on a basketball podcast. We have to talk about the results.
I'm in London.
Yeah, no, I know, but we've got it. You can't.
You can spoil this one.
As long as it's not the only rule we can't spoil is Orlando Magic games. Everything else is spoiled.
Okay, but. Spoil it in a way that's exciting for me.
Well, why don't we make it? Why don't you tell us who you think won? Is that exciting?
Okay, which city? Who was at home?
It was in LA.
LA.
Look, mate. Why did you
LA
wake up
win?
For
this? Okay, LA win by 17
No,
points.
The Mavs killed them, and it was a display of dominance. And Andrew, it led you leading the question: are the Mavs good? Am I right?
Yeah, which was my single bit of research for the week. Are the Mavs good? They're sitting. I'm just going to bring up the standings. I've got them here on my laptop. In fourth spot in the West.
Wow,
this is infuriating because last year, remember, I was trying to bet they were going to make the playoffs, and how have they gotten, like, so I guess Porzingis is a bit of an improvement.
It's a massive improvement, but Doncic has become an MVP candidate. I think that's yeah, but obvious.
Though. Where was that last year, mate? When the bet was on?
It was his rookie season. It was his rookie season.
Yeah, but he was coming off at MVP EuroLeague. Wake up, man.
Well, he's woken up now, and he was pretty. He didn't have a scoring because the crazy thing about the NBA now is people just score ridiculous. If Doncic doesn't score 41 points, you're like, oh, a bit of a disappointing night for him. But watching the game was just interesting to see the ability of him just to find wide open 3-point shooters. I think it probably said more about the awful defense of the Lakers, but it snaps their 10-game winning streak, and I think deservedly so. Is that all the research you did to your question? Andrew, you're supposed to be an analytics expert, and your analysis into is the Mavs good, your big question of the week, and your answer is they're fourth on the table, so they're pretty good.
They're a lot better. I did not. I was more researching which question to ask as opposed to the answer to that question.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. So I spoiled it for you by asking the question, are the Mavs good? Because that was what you were bringing
That's
to the table.
All I had.
Oh, I'm so sorry. We need to work on teammate. It's like I stole your assist or something. I feel bad about that.
I think the answer to my question is yes.
Well,
good, right?
Like, well, yeah, they're a solid playoff team.
Thought Paul Zingas is maybe a little bit worse than everyone thought, but he's still better than what they had last year. And then I don't know who else they got. Hardaway Jr.
They got a whole lot of crap kickers who were very good today. And I just want to say that their uniforms are so bad. Those street style graffiti uniforms. The only excuse for those is if they were designed by a kid who was sick in hospital and he was 12 years old and he was like, this is the last thing I want to do, design the Mavs uniforms for Luka to wear. I stand by that respect.
Did they play in them and win?
They keep on playing in them and they keep on winning, yeah.
Wow, that's bad news because they'll keep wearing them.
Yeah, well, all the city uniforms get worn for like 40 games.
Yeah, but you think if it was going really bad and they were losing every game in it, they'd probably pull the plug.
Oh, that's interesting.
Would they be allowed?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a uniform that cursed, but I don't think they would because they just want to make money off the jerseys and they don't really care about anything else. Has anyone else noticed it's quite hard to buy NBA jerseys? Like, it's not super easy. Like, Nike.com has a very poor range. You can't buy authentics anywhere unless you want to get last year's one. It's surprising how poor, because the reason you go with Nike is for the great distribution network.
Wait, but you can buy on the team store, can't you?
Yeah, and that's poor as well. All I want to buy is the North Raptors jersey. There's no chance of buying that.
That is a good jersey.
But even just even if you just want the Raptors jersey, like even if you just want like a Van Vliet jersey, it's not gettable. Pretty much all you can buy is a Pascal Siakam in red. You know, like
this sounds like a Raptors issue. Like,
no,
the Magic. If you want a Ken Birch authentic jersey, you can get it.
No, you cannot. I've searched high and low, and Raptors jerseys also, their problem is that they sold out of a lot. But you think Nike would crank the production. You think by now you'd be able to buy jerseys in a
I reckon go on the Magic store, because I think you can get the City Edition, which just came out like a couple of days ago.
I've looked around, and a lot of the jerseys are difficult to acquire, and especially special colorways and
so
stuff
like
that.
You get all the Nuggets ones, but only for like their top two or three players. You can't get like a Juancho Hernan Gomez and then Nuggets.
That'd be sick. A Juancho Hernan Gomez alternate would be awesome.
And on the Magic's website, you can choose like what player and number to put in, I think.
Made uniforms, but I did that for Stephen Adams before they started mass producing those, and the quality was awful of a swing man. It was just not
right. That was Adidas days. It might have changed.
I actually purchased my first jersey in many years this week.
Wow!
It was I saw it on the Nike website when I was browsing the Black Friday sales. It was a Jamal Murray Canada jersey.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
There's a few things to talk about here. Black Friday's not a thing. Don't make it a thing. We're in New Zealand, mate. We're not doing Black Friday.
The internet is everywhere, though.
Black Friday is so grim. And like, so I didn't know you could get a Jamal Murray Canada jersey.
Yeah, he's never even played for them.
I'll say this, I really did know, because I've been trying to get a Canada jersey for a few years.
I've been trying to buy a Canada jersey for 10 years.
Mm. I want an Anthony Bennett one, and I noticed recently that they did start selling them again, because I get emails from the Canada Basketball Store website. and for ages
That's a weird brag.
They'd like sold out or whatever, and they'd stopped selling them, and they just sold like hoodies and t-shirts and stuff. And then recently I got an email saying that they were selling them again, but they didn't have Anthony Bennett. But it said you could
What a surprise.
Them,
oh, no, he does play for them, eh?
Anthony, yeah, he wasn't at the World Cup, but he was playing for them before that.
Did he not make the World Cup squad?
Canada's World Cup squad was there, like their C squad. I'd be worried if he didn't make that. At the risk of sounding like an idiot, where is Anthony Bennett at the moment?
He was playing for... He'd signed up to play for Houston this year, and then right before the season,
he
got
injured. He went to the Toyota Center, and he like signed the form outside the stadium to play for the team.
Oh, he was waiting no. at training camp.
What's his name? Sam Morey?
Daryl Morey. Sam Morey, the GM of the Rockets.
Daryl Morey.
He's changed his name to Sam so the Chinese government doesn't come after him.
Yeah.
We're going to ask Andrew about this. You actually were, the Breakers went to Phoenix and played the Suns, right? Mm-hmm. And you were there.
Yeah, I sat on an NBA bench during a preseason season, so all the new rookies were getting introduced to the crowd, and DeAndre Ayton was the new Suns rookie.
Yeah.
And my first experience walking onto an NBA court, I made eye contact with DeAndre Ayton, who was walking off the court at the same time, wearing a chicken costume, full-size chicken costume, which looks ridiculous on a seven-foot-tall guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was like a rookie hazing thing. And we made eye contact, and he just smiled at me, and I nodded and walked onto the court.
Wow. That was fantastic. That's a weird induction. Were you blown away by all the razzmatazz and all the flashness of like how they live their life?
I didn't really go home with like Booker or anything. They didn't really invite me over.
No, but like, I mean, you were in the away dressing room of an NBA team, right?
Yeah, it wasn't that.
Well, they put you guys in the janitor's closet or something.
No,
like that.
We were in the away dressing room, but it wasn't like blow your mind fancy or anything. And we went on the Suns one, and I don't know if that's the Suns have got an old arena, right? I wasn't blown away by it.
Yeah,
it was nice. They gave us some free t-shirts. They felt sorry for us. A lot of the guys went in after the game and like grabbed a whole bunch of free socks and stuff.
So. Wait, so the New Zealand basketball team, the Breakers, went to Phoenix. And got a whole bunch of free socks.
I can't remember who it was on the team, but he went in after the game and asked if they had any free stuff. And the like team manager, the locker room
manager.
Yeah, came in with this like massive novelty sized bag of purple Nike Sun socks. You know, the ones they wear on the court.
Yeah, yeah.
Which are real nice socks.
Yeah.
And just dumped them in the middle of the locker room. everyone just jumped on them and like...
Get them socks! Yeah. Get her socks! You must have got some socks.
I've got a pair of socks.
Yeah!
Are
they size 16 though for an NBA foot?
They fit me, but they're purple. So
were you not blown away? Okay, you were courtside there at an NBA game. This is an amazing experience. I remember the first time I went to an NBA game and watched it. Were you not blown away at like the speed and athleticism of them?
No, not really. I was blown away by how many assistant coaches there are and how that many people can be employed by an NBA team.
Like how many assistant coaches are there?
Oh, there would have been, during warm-ups, maybe 20?
20 coaches. Wow.
It's crazy. I don't know what they do. I don't even think they know what they do.
Paul, you've been to an NBA game?
Yeah. Well, you're talking about free t-shirts. In the last two Nets games I've gone to,
Paul, you've got a free t-shirt before.
So
you bought a t-shirt?
No, I'm just saying... I'm on a tier of catching the free t-shirts.
Why didn't you make this a lead story on the Advanced Analytics podcast? What's going on?
Yeah, sorry, I forgot until you said free t-shirts.
You've caught
the first
some
one
free
I
t-shirts.
I gave to a kid next to me, mainly because I stole it from him to begin with and felt bad. And then, yeah, the second one I gave to my girlfriend, Simone.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's the most romantic story I've ever heard. Is it the rankest t-shirt the world's ever seen?
It's not great. The thread count is pretty poor.
So I always wondered about the free t-shirts. I always wondered what size they are, because they must be all 2XL so everyone can fit them, right?
Yeah, they're pretty big. They're pretty big, I think.
Now, here's the other embarrassing thing about free t-shirts, is that when you go to an NBA game, and I've been to many of them, so I'm an authority here, it's often the most animated the crowd gets during the game, especially if it's Knicks and they're losing. Like, the most hyped they'll get in the entire game will be during the t-shirt cannon. That must be demoralizing for the players' morale.
I have an interesting free T-shirt story. Sitting with a friend at a game at the North Shore Event Centre, and they were throwing out T-shirts. This is pre being able to afford a T-shirt cannon at a Breakers game.
Mm-hmm.
And he got hit in the head by a T-shirt. And not only that, because that's a very Maud Flanders thing to happen, they had wrapped a cell phone up in the T-shirt.
Oh my goodness!
And he got a concussion from it.
Wow! Because that sounds very dangerous. I remember in the New Zealand NBL was sponsored by Sprite, and they used to just get a chili bin full of Sprite cans, put it out on the floor, pull them out of the chili bin, like dripping wet. So already a massive problem is the floor is now covered in Sprite ice residue. And then they just toss, like, 300ml cans of Sprite at the crowd, which is like, it was like being on the Gaza Strip. It was like terrifying. You're like, oh no, here's the worst part of the game, the free Sprite. Duck, children. You'd be like shielding children and elderly from the free Sprite. But boy, if you got a can of Sprite before it
hit
the ground,
at
Trafalgar Centre, Nelson's Finals.
Yeah. I don't remember that.
It was brutal, and no one would ever catch them. This is what would happen. It'd get thrown into the crowd, two people would lunge for it, it would get volleyed off someone's hand, bounce up, and then go bang on the stairs, crack open, and just start fizzing everywhere. And everyone was like, yeah, Sprite rocks.
I will say, at Nelson Giants games, I remember, like, because I feel like they used to just, like, chuck the T-shirts because the stadium's so small,
yeah,
it's more than sufficient. Oh, like you can chuck one up to the back row if you want.
There's nothing worse than like a T-shirt slingshot or an overpowered T-shirt cannon where you shoot them into the lights of the stadium and it's a fire risk.
They introduced the three-man slingshot for the T-shirts, and it only went two ways. It either went launched way up into the roof where it would either get stuck or sometimes drop down.
Fire risk, catch on fire lights.
Bullets at someone in the front row and just like smash them in the face.
Paul, have you ever been to a game, been far more experienced at this than me? I went to a Wizards game once and they parachuted fried chicken out of the ceiling.
Yeah, no, they haven't. To be honest, they don't do anything as cool as that.
I mean, this was
nothing's like parachuted.
The Wizards, like last game or second to last game of the season, and all their stars were sitting like in street clothes, and it was the most depressing game. Did get to see Paul Millsap, I guess. I think they were playing the Hawks, but I guess fried chicken was the highlight of the night.
Amazing.
Yeah, I've been to some pretty depressing games, though. The last one I went to where I caught the second T-shirt was a Hornets versus the Nets without any of their big names. So no Kyrie, no KD, no Caris LeVert.
Well, it's interesting in the NBA because we thought it was going to be stacked and more exciting than ever this year, but there is a lot of bad teams out there. And just to get back to the Mavs versus Lakers for a minute, the Lakers still haven't really beaten a good team. They're on a 10-game tier, and their only good wins are against the Jazz, which is the second game of the season coming off a loss to the Clippers. And they beat the Mavs at Dallas before losing to them today. Spoiler alert for Paul. We're asking, is Dallas good? And the answer is they'll be a solid playoff team who's still got a lot of growing to do or a trade to make. But the Lakers,
amazingly, they lost to the Knicks. I'm just looking at their results.
Well, the Lakers and the Mavs have actually got like their best player is a small forward, I guess, if you count LeBron still, and they've got like their backup big, Porzingis and Anthony Davis. Like, there's a lot of similarities there between their two best players on each team.
Playing
similar spots.
I know the Lakers have got to be one of the favourites. They've got LeBron, and they're the most popular team. But any team with Rondo on it, and I used to love Rondo, and I love his passing, but he just doesn't seem like a formula for success, right? It makes him like a novelty. Like, he's just such a joke. The technical he got the other day where he's just yelling at the ref for too long, like, he's not right in the head. He can't play defence. honestly... Paul, you love Rondo too, and you'd say that, right? There's something wrong with that guy, and he's toxic and a loser everywhere he goes. And as much as it is great to see the one good assist he throws per game,
And if you're a team like the Lakers and you're relying on 20 minutes out of Rondo and 20 minutes out of JaVale McGee,
yeah,
it's big minutes for guys like that.
Yeah, I don't like Kuzma.
Interesting thing I'm seeing here, looking at Doncic's numbers. So the Nuggets held them. Even though the Mavericks actually won by 3 points, the Nuggets held them to 12 points and 16. Oh no, that's 3-point shooting, 25% field goal percentage, and two of the other teams that have done okay with him is Toronto held him to 26, Orlando held him to 27, which are both like bottom six.
Are you talking about the Mavs, yeah, or the Lakers?
Mavs.
Yeah, sorry. We're talking about the Richard was talking about the Lakers.
The other thing that interests me with the Mavs is like JJ Barea. He's what? Played like three games, like sporadically, and I think they just bring him on when they like need a some sort of like spark. Because against the Magic were looking pretty good until they brought on JJ Barea for his season debut.
You gotta watch out and for JJ Barea.
He came on and like scorched us for like 12 points in the quarter or something, and swung the game. And it was funny because then they were interviewing someone like maybe Aaron Gordon. I think Aaron Gordon at halftime, and they were like, "Man, what happened? Like JJ Barea just came on and lit you guys up." And he was like, "Yeah, man, when he came on, I was telling DJ Augustine, I said, don't let JJ change the energy. Don't let JJ change the energy." But yeah, he came on and he barbecued them.
He changed the energy. You got Barea.
He did. No, he did. But it was annoying. And then I was like,
he's 38 years old. He's 5'10" and he's at that point in his life where he's actually losing height year by year because he's so old.
Yeah, but I was like, it was annoying because I was like, I've got to grab him for my fantasy team because I've just seen in his first game how good he is. And then he didn't play any more games. And I was like, this is unfair. Like, he just showed up for the Magic game. Just
are you complaining that the Mavs only released their death ray of JJ Barea on your team? Is that the problem?
Yeah. No, okay, he's played two other games.
I haven't laughed this hard in a long time.
But he's putting up numbers, man. He's got double.
No, he's not.
He's played low minutes, and he still gets double digits in all three games.
Can I just advise anyone who listens to this podcast, please listen to other podcasts or get news about the NBA from other places. Because if you listen to this podcast, you'll be talking to your friends, and you'll be like, man, you hear about JJ Barea this year? He's changing the energy, man. He's out there. He's turning up. Get him on your fantasy team.
Now look at the stat line. He played 15 minutes against us, 11 points, nearly a point a minute, three assists. He shot 3 out of 4 from 3 points. He shot 75% from the 3-point line.
Sorry to hear about your JJ Barea problems. This is why we have Magic Mayhem, right? Because Andrew, people might question why we have Magic Mayhem in the piece, and it's because there's a lot of stuff going on with him, and JJ Barea is a story that needs to be told.
When I first started listening to this podcast, Magic Mayhem was my least favourite segment by a mile, and I might have messaged both of you at some stage and said, you've got to cut that, but it rapidly turned into like my favourite
segment. Yeah, it's amazing.
Just because of how like bleak it is.
It's coming. Like,
no.
We've talked about JJ Barea and his flamethrower for 15 minutes.
No, we're not in Magic Mayhem yet, so this is actually still the weekend.
It's
review.
Coming, and I'll have you know that Paul hasn't watched the most recent Magic game.
No, I watched it
so don't spoil it for him. The mayhem's when you tell Paul the result of the game that he hasn't watched, and he gets furious.
No.
we all.
Okay, can I say neck, another one of the big hurts. Stories, I think,
oh,
the weekend review.
I think you've shared enough big stories of the week. Here's here's a genuine Barstool question, and I'll direct this to Andrew because Paul's got a lot of JJ Barea problems going on at the moment. My question is, you're an analytics expert, but like, if I mean, and this isn't really an analytics question, but like,
oh, thank God.
Our stats year to year, like, you know how you compare players and you're like, how many points they average per game? Comparing players through generations is not possible because the NBA game now has changed so much that it's just ridiculous, right? Like, Clint Capella is registering 22 rebounds. I saw the other day that, was it not Dennis Smith Jr.? Tim Hardaway Jr. scored 31 points for the Dallas Mavericks, and he wasn't even the third top scorer in the game because Doncic had, like, 45 and James Harden had 37. Like, this amount of points that teams are scoring is ludicrous. It's annoying.
Didn't James Harden just, like, set the record for the most amount of points, or, like, most fewer shots to get to 50 points or something?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's 3 points. Everyone's shooting threes.
And the pace and the rebounds, and it's like the Raptors are just like, just the game today was just an absolute joke. Like, it's just really, really interesting, but it kind of like, I don't know, it takes something away from the, like, scoring 40 points is no longer really much of an accomplishment. Everyone does it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be surprised if Trevor Ariza had a 40-point. Is Trevor Ariza still in the NBA?
Yes.
I was trying to name that guy. I was trying to think of a funny NBA player to name. I didn't know it was Trevor Ariza. I was trying to think of the funniest NBA player to name is that guy. He plays for the Heat now. He looks like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. White guy.
Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah, you know it. Kelly Olynyk. Yeah. If Kelly Olynyk could score 40 points, I reckon, in a game, you would not be surprised.
Okay. Sorry to bang on about it, but he's shooting 70% on three-pointers, and he's shooting 3.3 a game.
Okay, please.
JJ Barea.
Yeah, so I thought you were talking about.
70%.
That's pretty good, man.
I mean, he's only played three games, but 3.3 a game.
I can imagine having like a 5'5" guard is a big defensive problem, though. So they probably don't need him because they've already got the most efficient offense in NBA history. So I don't think they need... Is that where they are? They're not the, their most efficient NBA, offense in the NBA, at least, right?
Oh, good question. Don't know off the top of my head.
Analytics, Andrew. Wait, sort your stuff
out. I don't,
like,
just know every stat off the top of my head.
You do. Yeah. That's why you're here. You got a laptop, mate. Look it up.
No, you're not allowed to Google during the thing.
Well, you've already done it once, this podcast. Admit it. And
no, I was looking in my mind. I was searching my mind.
Yeah, it is the Dallas Mavericks. And by a good margin, too.
Oh, in NBA history? Or this year?
Definitely this year.
So that, what, the number one for offensive rating or something?
Yep.
Wow.
Okay, I have...
Sorry, the music started. Did you have something to say, Paul? I'll turn the music down a bit.
No, because this is good. Keep it playing, because you never talk until...
Yeah, get your thought out. Get your thought out.
No, it's gone for the thing. Got been thinking
this week. Oh, we'll have Fields of Gold coming up a bit later on as well. No one listened to my Fields of Gold sting. Did you guys listen to the podcast?
You didn't send it to me.
I spent a day in Oamaru cutting up the podcast. We had to sync up three tracks, and then I crafted a amazing sting for Fields of Gold. No one. That's Andrew's segment about the Nuggets, which is going to be...
I'm so excited to hear this live.
Yeah.
We had a live reaction.
Yeah. I actually haven't clipped it off, so it will be put in post. But
still won't hear it.
Sorry. Shows you guys didn't listen to the podcast. Shame, shame. This week on Guy I've Been Thinking, I've noticed that a common thing on the internet that people love talking about is how there was a time when a team in three successive years or whatever drafted Kevin Durant and Serge Ibaka in the same draft, then Russell Westbrook, then James Harden. Three MVP candidates and like five of the last eight scoring champions on the same team. And everyone talks about it like it was a dynasty that could have been. And Guy, I've been thinking, there's no way you could say that that team would have been a dynasty when you look at how stacked the NBA and how tough the NBA has been to win an NBA championship in the last 10 years. Like, they would have been a good team, don't get me wrong, but they were coming up against, you know, one of the greatest teams ever in the Warriors, not to mention LeBron, who might have stayed together with Kyrie and K-Love. You know, if the NBA ecosystem had been a bit differently, they might have stayed together longer had they not come up against the Warriors. Like, I'm just going to come out and say it right now that I just think there's no way you can say that that OKC team, if they'd kept their three superstars, would have won a championship. And it's ridiculous to kind of speculate on that. Maybe that's not a good guy I've been thinking. I don't know.
I mean, it's hard to argue like either way, right? You don't know, like in the kind of sliding doors thing. But I think the argument is more that it was such a terrible trade that you're trading away one of the best players in a generation for... to save yourself on the luxury.
Is Harden that good, though?
Yes. Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, no, but like... No, but you can't have a team that's built around three gunner scorers and no defense. Like, the reason the Warriors work so well is because they had an elite attacking player, an elite defensive player, and a kind of guy in the middle there who could do a bit of both, you know, in Klay Thompson. And so, as a result, they had balance there. KD can play D, Westbrook plays no D, Harden plays no D, and there's only one basketball. Serge Ibaka plays D.
He was would have been up there for Defensive Player of the Year around those times, right?
Yeah, and they, yeah. But like, yeah, there's just no way you can say that team would
have
been super good.
I'll say this, 2012, they made it to the finals, which is pretty impressive for how young they were, I think, at the time.
Yeah.
that's 7 years ago now. And interesting, just the other day, I was like, because I was like kind of, I was like, man, I forgot about that, that they made the finals. And I think a big storyline was how James Harden was terrible in the finals. And there were rumors that it was because they were playing in Miami. And Harden, even then, was like hitting the club during the NBA finals.
Two of the Rockets' worst losses this year have been on Sunday early games, aka after Saturday night. On the road,
Saturday night fever.
It's an actual thing, and I'm not shaming Harden for it. For the finals, if those rumors are true, then it will be a book that'll make some crap up in a few years.
I did
tell us.
Deep dive on Twitter, just looking at
if Harden was doing any 2 a.m. tweets during the finals, going, "I'm at the club."
Yeah, no, his tweets were like, "Let's get it." OKC Thunder Nation. I was looking for tweets other people were doing saying that they'd seen him in the club or whatever. And yeah, there was one guy who had a lot of retweets that was like, because I was looking up, searching his name with club at that time or his name with, I was like, found out what some of the clubs were called.
This is good analytics, man.
Yeah, there was like King of Diamonds was one.
There's an embarrassing club to go to.
And someone was, yeah, well, the crazy thing is like, I pictured it being, like, there on South Beach, you know, near the water. But it's, like, way inland on the side of a motorway. It's, like, this massive, bleak building. But anyway, I'm not even certain.
That's where strip
there.
Clubs are, though. Is it a strip club?
Yeah, I'd say so. But then some guy did get a lot of retweets because it was, like, James Harden was at this club last night. How do I know this? I saw him. But like, you know, who's to say if that guy was telling the truth or what? But there were a couple of people claiming they'd seen him.
It seems insane, though. Like, people talk about Harden as, like, relaxed work ethic. And, yeah, he plays no D and looks like, he looks like he doesn't care at all times because he's just got a lazy-looking face. But he obviously works hard. Like, he's one of the best shooters and, you know, an amazing offensive presence who obviously spends a lot of time thinking about how to game the system. Yeah.
I read something, I think, about the Mavs maybe when they played the Heat in the finals. I think they stayed at a different hotel to where they stayed in the regular season because they stayed at a hotel that was, like, further away from, like, the nightclub scene. Something
the
like
All Blacks,
that.
That's common for sports teams. The All Blacks did that in the most recent World Cup because, obviously, being in Japan, pretty much in Tokyo, anywhere where their base is, pretty much any hotel is going to be near Shibuya, Shinjuku, the nightlife area. So they intentionally got a hotel at Disney Land, which is a 40-minute, you know, Uber ride away from the nightlife area of Tokyo.
Great. So you're just adding another 40 minutes of them being out.
Yeah. 120 minutes because you got, wait, yeah, 1 hour, 20 minutes. Man, time is hard to do.
That, just to go back to basketball for a second.
No, don't do that.
That, I still think, in my mind, that Dallas-Miami final series is one of my favourites of all time.
Dallas, pretty Miami, great,
oh,
I reckon.
With Dallas winning, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, heck yeah.
That was such a great final series.
And there was that the one where LeBron and Wade, like, mocked Dirk,
yeah,
saying he was injured and stuff like that, and yeah, Dirk's,
no,
redemption
they
story.
Were like, I think they were like pretending to cough and stuff.
Because Dirk's legacy, it's just amazing. He was a choke artist. He was like a loser. He was soft. He was until then, and then he wins a championship and just his whole life changes. I think that the Dirk story arc has affected a lot of other NBA players, and it's why guys like KD have been dissatisfied when they've won a championship and then realize that it doesn't necessarily do that. And the reason it was so powerful for Dirk was because he had like 10 years of story narrative before then and losing to the We Believe Warriors and stuff like that. And KD didn't have that.
And it's good to see someone who sticks with a small, I assume that they're considered small market.
Dallas.
Dallas is
it?
Huge. It's quite big, yeah. It's a big, Texas. But no, but not like, but you're right, not like he didn't go to Los Angeles is what you're saying.
Yeah, you don't see.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many people rocking the Dallas Mavericks jersey.
He's got a shirt after him because of it. Have you seen it? Nowitzki Way or Nowitzki something?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. It's like, you know, it gives people reason to stay in some random-ass town. Because it's like, if, you know, if Damian Lillard does win a championship in Portland, you know he's going to have, like, schools and parks and...
Unfortunately,
spoiler alert.
It's not going to happen. I don't think Damian Lillard's that good. People talk about, like, maybe they should trade him because, like, you know, the team's bad and everyone loves Lillard. And I love Lillard too, and I like watching him. I like McCollum, but, like, I don't know what NBA team would want him. You know, like, again, it's like any player who leads an NBA franchise now, it seems like they need to be to a championship. Seems like they need to be playing both ends of the court. And, like, just a small guard is just, like, a recipe for getting targeted on one end, and it's just hard to see a team succeeding with that as their number one or even number two player. I don't know. I guess Steph Curry is a good exception to that, but Steph Curry is another level above Damian Lillard in terms of offensive production, I think.
Okay, should we move on?
Absolutely. Is it that time? Right about that time.
Wait, did you do Guy I've Been Thinking?
That was it.
What was it?
Strong segment.
It was a stop speculating that the KD Westbrook Harden team would have been a dynasty, because I definitely don't think there's any promise that they would have been. They're three great players, but they all do the same thing. They all play the same instrument.
I will
you can't build an orchestra out of three grand piano players, can you?
I'll play devil's advocate, because I feel like I'm kind of with you, but I will say this. So Dallas won, what, 2013?
Yeah.
They beat Dallas, swept them in the first round, and I'm sure their team was different.
Oh, they're way worse, yeah.
Yeah. I think Tyson Chandler hadn't come yet. But still, they swept them in the first round. Then they beat a Los Angeles team. I have no idea who was on the Lakers then. Maybe was that the disaster era where it was like Dwight Howard and stuff?
Sorry, Paul, this was. I think you've got confused here. It was the year after I think Dallas won the championship, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, I might be confused.
So it was the
Can
Dallas team.
It
was the Dallas championship team, but they... anyway, yeah, that, don't get me wrong. They would have been good, and they would have been one of the best teams in the West.
No, but,
and they would have been great regular season
they beat,
team.
Okay, they beat the Spurs the next year. They beat the Spurs in the conference. Like, I don't know.
Who knows? Oh. Maybe Westbrook, if that was the team, it didn't seem like, because he'd played with KD for years and didn't learn this, but he might have learned that, like, he would have been better if he applied himself to defense, they were going to win a championship. I don't know. Things might have been different.
Because also, wasn't Harden at that time... Wasn't he, like, known more as, like, a defensive player, or am I crazy?
There's
that spark plug off the bench, right?
Yeah, but they also... I think they did try and put him on... He would have had to guard LeBron and D-Wade, but it went very poorly.
right.
It did not go well. I think it's that time, right about that time, for the Stars to roll
on. What about Paul Don't Lie?
Oh, well, I thought that was Paul Don't Lie.
No, Paul Don't Lie. I've got a good Paul Don't Lie.
Okay, I can't wait to hear it.
Okay. I was scrolling through.
I like how you make the stings, and you haven't made a sting for your own segment.
I'm going to make one for movie reviews.
You say
well.
That every two... week you're going to make it. I forgot movie reviews, even a segment.
Okay, but it's time for a quick Paul Don't Lie.
Yeah, quick.
Okay, I was looking through my old comments on Reddit to see what kind of bad predictions I'd made, like, way back.
You're lying.
Anyway, I stumbled upon a video of the Raptors versus the Hawks from a couple years back.
Yeah.
And the game was in the bag. The Raptors were up by, like, 12 points or something with, like, 30 seconds to go. And OG Anunoby gets a steal, burns down the court, and racks it. The Toronto fans go nuts. Budenholzer doesn't like it as his team's losing and the game's in the bag. And he kind of walks over. Instead of shaking his hand, he's kind of yelling something. And then it cuts to Dwayne Casey, who's going nuts back at him, clearly yelling, if you, and it's quite funny because usually like the coaches are pretty chummy with each other, and it's just funny to see them really firing up at each other. The game's ended.
Yeah.
Just literally yelling, if you, and I was thinking, interesting that both these guys, not long after this, like, you know, they're now both coaching different teams. And then I thought, more interesting, they both met in the first round of the playoffs last year. So the next year after that, it was them versus each other, but on different teams. And I was looking at that series to see exactly how it went. And I remember it at the time, but what I was shocked to see was the Pistons were swept, and they didn't have Blake Griffin for the first two games. And when they did have him, he was pretty badly hurt. But they lost by 35 points, 21 points, 16 points, and 23 points, an average of 23.7 points per game. I think that might be the most lopsided playoff series ever.
Wait. When you say you think, have you Googled this, or you just...
It's a hard thing to Google. I Googled it briefly, and there was a series in 2009 when Andrew's Nuggets actually beat the Hornets by an average of 30.7 points per game. However, the Chris Paul-led Hornets managed to win Game 3 by 2 points, which makes me think, you know, they didn't get swept.
Yeah.
Not as bad.
Yeah.
Is that when Sean Marks was on the Hornets?
Possibly.
There's no way Paul's going to know that. But that was impressive. Hey, good deep dive, Paul.
I think it was. I think I remember Sean Marks.
A fascinating... Paul don't lie, and now it's more Paul. It's that time, right about that time, for the stars to roll on out.
You're taking every game personal.
Have the Magic been cursed? That's the question I'll bring to the table. And it's not usually a question-based segment. But the story, once again, injuries. This week, victim Al-Farouq Aminu has torn his...
His name's Al-Farouq Aminu, but Al-Farouq Aminu is a good nickname.
He's torn his meniscus. And then last night in the first half, Evan Fournier like rolled his ankle and had to leave, but he actually returned. But still, man... MCW's out, Vucevic is out. Aaron Gordon's actually come back, luckily.
It would be so good if we could talk about today's game, but unfortunately we can't because it was a thrill.
That'll be next week. We'll
forget about it next week.
No,
Al-Farouq Aminu right now has been a disaster for them, am I right?
He's been disappointing, yeah. And it's, I hate when it happens where someone just seems way, like, okay, Jeff Green, one of, I think, me and Guy's most hated NBA players, he's a prime example of a guy who just, like, whenever he plays against Orlando, looks awesome. And then, man, when he plays for us, he just looked like the worst player of all time.
But, you might say he's a real J.J. Barea type.
No, he's good against anyone. But Al-Farouq Aminu, like, last year, you know, he was a starter for Portland, a team that made it to the Western Conference Finals. And I remember him looking pretty good against the Magic every time they play, like just great 3-and-D guy. And yeah, he's just not quite that at the moment for us. But still, good piece to have, I think. Good piece to have.
No, well, the problem with him is he plays a position that you guys have well fulfilled, which is like small forward, power forward. You got like 25 of those guys.
Nah, not really. We actually don't. I don't think. Like, I think a lot of people were saying we had a lot of power forwards because they were picturing Jonathan Isaac playing power forward. But, you know, he's playing the three. So then after Aaron Gordon, it's like, he's like, we've just got Al-Farouq Aminu as our backup power forward. Basically, or maybe sometimes he plays the three as well. But, you know, it's getting positionless. So you can never have too many.
Anyway, sorry, I regret saying that out loud.
Wing guys.
Yeah.
Al-Farouq Aminu was good in Portland last year, wasn't he?
He was, and he's one of the missing ingredients that they're missing from their team. This disaster they traded away from, and it's a disaster the Magic have him because he's terrible for the Magic. He's a good example of a player switching teams and being a loss for both teams.
He was a big reason why Portland beat Denver in that playoff series last year, him and Rodney Hood, disgustingly.
I was just thinking how funny it was that Denver intentionally tanked to meet Portland in the second round and lost to the team they tanked to meet. It'd be better to lose to Golden State with dignity than to... to lose to Portland with no dignity.
It's a learning curve. This is Magic Mayhem. This is not Fields.
Fields of Gold is coming.
What else? I mean, I don't have a lot else to say. It's just been tough times because of the injuries, I think.
I feel like I've done more Magic research than you this week, because I've actually seen their game today, which I'm not allowed to talk about. But it is a game worth watching, that's for sure. But they debuted their new Orlando uniforms today, and I can confirm...
They've actually worn them twice in a row now.
Okay, I haven't watched that many Magic games. The point is that I can confirm the conspiracy theory that they are based on the Epcot font. And that's just
really?
Based on... That's not based on the designer saying anything or anything like that. That's just based on me looking at some graphics. I can show Andrew right now. That's the uniform there. Mm-hmm. And look at this old map of Epcot Disney World. Oh, that's the font they use, which is the exact same font, and orange and grey is the colour scheme. And if you look at this map here, no, this is good. Look at that.
This is all very, very visual.
Future World, ORL. No, that's what I'm getting
Where
Andrew
you
to confirm.
Where did you find
these pictures from? I did a lot of searching. ORL, see that? I'm unemployed. ORL there, and that's the same as that ORL there, is it not?
Yeah, it's very similar.
It's very similar. The Future World font.
Wow.
That was
maybe
used
this
to
could
Epcot.
Be. This could be your first tweet. Like these photos, because as
a
listener
tweets,
right
man.
Now, it's not great.
I've been looking forward to asking you about what tweets you've made on the Twitter account this week, Paul.
I made one. Basically, we're trying to break the news of who won season two of The Masked Singer.
We're trying to break who won season two of The Masked Singer.
Yes, a show I haven't watched. But still, we could be the ones to break
We've talked about The Masked Singer before. Andrew, do you know about The Masked Singer?
I don't know what that is.
Okay, it's a terrible Korean reality TV show, which is apparently quite good in Korea. But it's terrible in America. You get 10 celebrities to put on a novelty costume and sing, right?
Okay.
And the theory is, the NBA connection is, we're sure that Victor Oladipo is one of the singers. From the hints they lock in, the style of singing. Paul,
they made it way too obvious.
Paul, can you confirm that Victor Oladipo is on there?
Oh, 100%.
Ah.
But the funny thing is, when I was Googling who was going to win, who I thought was going to win, I feel like maybe the show, to add a bit of spice or something, they've like tried to release a rumor that it could be Dennis Rodman. But it's like, it's literally like, if you just listen to the voice, you're like, that's Victor Oladipo. Even without the clues, I reckon I could have got that. But anyway, hard to know.
I think it's time, for Fields of Gold.
Wait. We haven't done Player of the Week this week.
Okay, sorry. Player of the Week.
Also, the one thing that's annoying me slightly with the grey and orange uniforms is I think the orange on their jerseys and the orange on the court is quite a different shade of orange.
I think they should be black and orange, but anyway, that's for...
I kind of like the dark grey.
I think of the lot of terrible NBA alternate uniforms that are out there, I think Orlando's black and orange or grey and orange is some of the best.
But Player of the Week, this week, I'm actually giving to a little known guy by the name of Mo Bamba.
Oh man, I was hoping it was JJ Barea. Why Mo Bamba, Paul? Is he not suck anymore?
No, well, you know, Vucevic is out, so he's kind of more expected of him, and he's averaging over the last week, he's averaging 11 points a game. I just round up just to say.
That's how the Magic do all their stats.
11 points, 8 rebounds, 2.3 blocks, on 60% field goal, 100% from the free throw, and he's averaging 2 threes a game, which isn't bad for
a
big guy. Sorry?
How many free throws has he shot?
I don't have that. I copy and pasted those stats.
Because, you know, Mo Bamba is, I would say, he's a worry. Do you think he's coming right?
Yeah, I'm not worried about him. People online, you know, they have worries about his motor
and
effort. But he's
not
putting
developing
on
like a person should. He's stunted development.
He's putting on an absolute block party at the moment, which I think is going to be his big strengths. I think are going to be blocking shots and He's got a good shooting stroke.
He wasn't blocking JJ Barea the other night when he was...
Yeah, he was on him, man. What are you talking about? And I will say this, like, people have been very high on Evan Fournier, and in their last game where they lost to... Who did they even lose to?
Well, you're comparing him to Evan Fournier.
They lost to the Raptors, and someone was, like, kind of apologizing to Evan Fournier online, but I was like, man, don't apologize to him too much, because Norman Powell just went off on him for a career high, like, nearly 40 points or something. Mm. And so, like, you gotta look at both ends, I think. And, like, for me, it's like, yeah, if you score 25, but your man scores 30, it's bad, you know?
Hey, well, thank you for that Magic Mayhem, Paul, and more grim news from the world of the Atlanta Magic. It's time to turn to some brighter futures now, with the Fields of Gold. Do you remember him? I've been other skies.
You remember me when the west wind moves upon the fields of Bali.
Beyond the fields of Bali.
You forget the sun in his jealous sky.
Do you remember? I started this too early. Me. Of an amber sky, as we walk in fields of gold.
Oh, that's really good.
You say brighter. I think last time we spoke on the inaugural segment of Fields of Gold, we were talking about how this week we'd be celebrating a 7 or 8 game winning streak.
Yeah.
The Nuggets lost to the Sacramento Kings.
Oh, wow.
In overtime, and they were up by, must have been around 19 points at one point. And it was a horrible watch. And so, yeah, we're not celebrating.
That's anymore. One bad loss,
Wait,
though.
Can we talk about the very last few seconds of that game, though? Because
I did want to get
here's the one bit I saw. Down 3, 7 seconds on the clock.
Andrew's got his
Jamal
head in his
Murray
hands.
With the ball. He drives baseline. He takes a few dribbles. He throws the ball away as the buzzer sounds. The game's over.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't get a shot off.
So I don't know. I haven't done any reading or about post game interviews or anything. But and I don't know whether he just didn't know how much time was left on the clock, or he didn't know that they needed.
That was my theory. Everyone was saying like, "Oh, the plan was to drive in and kick it to a shooter in the corner or whatever for a three." But I was like, it seemed more like he didn't realize there was that. Like, he thought there was 17
seconds. I wonder,
seconds
it is hard to judge. I've never played on an NBA court where they've got the time everywhere, so it's easy to see. It is hard to judge how much, like, you know, like in a shot clock. I wonder if NBA players do any sort of training to, like, so they know what 5 seconds and 3 seconds is, you know, so they can count it in their head, like, so they're on rhythm, you know?
But it was, the weird thing about it was, when they inbounded the ball, they would have known exactly how much time's left on the clock.
Yeah.
Like 7 seconds. And the fact that he he's a professional basketball player to dribble drive in
to attack the hoop. Yeah,
yeah, when you need.
Can I say what had just happened? Because that's what I didn't see in the small clip that I watched. I just saw him dribbling up the court. But what was it off? Was it off like a miss or?
No, it was a timeout, I think.
Yeah. Okay. That's inexcusable. Then I thought it was like they'd been playing for like a minute and.
But that was a shocking end to a bad loss. It can't be all grim for the Nuggets. So I thought they're going to beat the Lakers in 2 days' time, aren't they?
I think it's tomorrow actually. The Nuggets' record against below 500. So they've lost 4 games all season. 3 of those games have been against below 500 teams.
I wonder why that is. Though that's so interesting.
Kings and the Pelicans.
And they're killing the good teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. Okay. So Jokic. Let's talk about him. Because he's still going bad.
Oh, he's not going bad.
Well, he's scoring less than 10 points a game. He's supposed to be an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
The thing is, I don't like when people are saying stuff like that because at the end of the day, one stat matters. Wins, losses. If your team's winning, you're doing well.
Wins, losses is 2 stats, isn't it?
Well, wins then.
Okay. Well, Andrew, let's let Andrew speak. This is his segment.
Yeah, they're 13-4. So I mean, they're not going badly, and Jokic is doing the right stuff. Yeah, his numbers are down a bit on last year, but at the same time, the players around him have got a lot better. Jamal Murray's got a lot better. Will Barton's on a career.
No, you said that last week, but Here's my first question: is are the Nuggets genuine contenders to win the championship?
Yeah, I mean they're well.
I don't know if they are
dark horse contenders to win the championship.
Very fringe. But they would be, I think, if Jokic could get back to where he was last year, because he's definitely playing worse than last year, regardless of points.
Yes.
Yeah.
His especially 3-point shooting's gone way through the floor.
Yeah. But just being like almost hesitant to shoot. It's quite weird.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about it, but just because, like I say, like Paul Millsap is oddly having a really, really good year for someone his age. Will the thrill Barton, Willie B. Buckets, is back to his best ever and is scoring more points than ever.
Great.
Gary Harris just had a career game.
I know, but to win...
The pieces around him are getting better.
I know my theory, if you listen to this podcast, my theory of NBA is coming through, but like it's just superstars playing at elite levels is what gets you playoff wins, and was maybe what they were lacking. Like someone just really take hold of the game. And it's going to be Jamal Murray and Jokic together killing it, and like Jokic is not holding up his end of the bargain at the moment.
The more I watch Nuggets games, and I do watch every single one of them, I'm beginning to think Jamal Murray is going to be the number one guy on that team in a year or two.
More than Jokic?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like in terms of like scoring and...
Flash. He's the face of the franchise.
He's the...
It's a guards league, right? In terms of like star power, don't you think?
Yeah.
But I will say this. Speaking of Gary Harris, has your fantasy team picked him up, or was that someone else?
Yeah, it was my. Who dropped him? It was my fantasy team that leapt at that.
Yeah.
Someone dropped Gary Harris. Your fantasy league is moronic.
Well, he's not. He's having a.
He hasn't been putting up very big numbers. Like he was a drop candidate, basically. I think. But you picked him up, you believed, and he had a good game?
Is that really how it's going? Yep. He was spurred on by my trust and the love that he found at the Titirangi Athletic.
This is a little mini hop into the Fantasy Forest during Fields of Gold. We've slightly just left that
I just
got
right
my
next
man.
To the Fantasy Forest. I just realized Fields of Gold is a flawed name because it should be Nuggets of Gold because Fields of Gold refers to, I'm guessing, wheat fields.
Yeah,
which has nothing to do with gold nuggets or nuggets.
Yeah, it takes you to quite a beautiful place in your mind, though.
It does.
Which I like. But jumping into the Fantasy Forest, I got my guy this week. Someone dropped Mo Wagner, or Wagner, I don't know how they pronounce it.
It really sounds
Paul, you'll be banned from talking on the podcast, eh?
But I was trying to trade for him. I was going to, and then they dropped him. And so I'm stoked to just jump on him. Big man, can shoot the three. Love the fit. Okay, let's leave the forest.
No, just before we leave the forest, just on the outskirts now, I'd just like to mention that I got my first fantasy win this week.
Congrats!
Yeah, despite forgetting to start my players for two of the days.
Wow.
Yeah, so Gary Harris really turned the fortune.
Why are you going so bad? You're supposed to be an expert.
I just forgot. And also because it's a keepers league and this is my first season back and I don't have any keepers.
The other teams are stacked.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
I think I had a narrow 5-4 loss, but I'm not really worried. I've had a few injuries and I know I'm going to make the playoffs,
no one
I'm pretty confident.
Mate.
So I'm trying to play more the long game and just be ready for the playoffs, not worry about seeding.
Please shut up.
My team is built around Jokic, unsurprisingly, and while he's having a bad year, it means the Titirangi Athletic are having a bad year. So,
sorry, we've trampled all of your fields of gold, mate. Other Nuggets facts?
My last thing, I'm going to give out a Player of the Week award.
Okay.
Since that's what we're
That's
doing.
Not a winning segment for Paul. I don't know why you're getting on that bandwagon.
I like it.
See, what I hoped was we'd have two competing segments, Nuggets versus Magic, and you bringing some heat would push Paul to be better, but instead you seem to have sunk to his level.
I really like Player of the Week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, who's the Nuggets Player of the Week?
Willie B. Buckets.
Okay, congrats, man.
Yeah. Will the Thrill.
Yeah, Will the Thrill is really carrying the Nuggets at the moment, and he wins my Player of the Week award.
Awesome. Well, good luck to the Nuggets in their upcoming big the one time anyone watches them play, which is against the Lakers. Mm-hmm. And I've got a feeling they are going to win that one, but they'll have to be on their game because, I mean, the Lakers do have a couple of good players.
Well, they'll be well rested after they're not showing up for the second half of the Sacramento game.
Oh, I like it. Is it in Los Angeles?
Good question. Don't know.
It's gonna be a ripping game. So that's all you have to say about the Nuggets.
It's the can, the Pepsi Center.
Is it called the can?
I don't know.
Okay, that's all right. That's all the Nuggets news we've got time for.
That's it.
And I think it's time. We've just got to better wrap this up. But before we do, the hit new segment, it's time for movie review with Paul.
Yeah, okay. And I am going to get a song for this. I know I've said it, but it's going to really take
it. You say that every week. You say, I ask for so many stings. I ask for any music. You're a musician.
Yeah. Mate, I'm in London.
Yeah, just clip a video song off. I made a sting for Fields of Gold.
Yeah, we haven't heard it yet. We still haven't
heard it. You would hear it if you listened to your own podcast just for like learning purposes or something like that.
Why do you play the other ones but you won't play that one?
Because I haven't clipped it off. I put it on the podcast and then deleted the whole track. So I've deleted the raw copy of. Anyway, just continue.
Wait, now you're going to have to cut it out of last
week's episode. I'm just thinking about it now. I'm going to have to download our podcast, somehow convert it into an MP3, export it, and then bring it back into the timeline, and then cut off every other part of the podcast just to stay. Let's not talk about
it. It's going to be so bad. It's moving. It's going to be so bad.
Also, okay. Anyway.
Okay, so it's a double header. So strap in. First film I saw was a little film called Frozen 2.
Oh, my God.
And I want to begin by saying I love Disney. Orlando Magic jersey sponsor. Also, they just make wonderful films.
We went to Disney World this year. It was great.
Yeah, I love the parks. Love everything. But this film, in my opinion, is not great. I didn't
Frozen
like Frozen
1. Sucks,
1.
Right? Yeah,
yeah, really I didn't bad. Like Frozen 1. And
shout out to Idina Menzel, though. That song is fire.
Yeah, well, she just sung it. She didn't actually write it.
Well, she nailed it, is what I'm saying. She killed it.
This one is, I think, significantly worse than the first one, and I remember not liking the first one. The characters basic is one of my things, is like, and the thing is, like, in every other Disney film, this hardship is overcome, and it's just not there in this one. This one, okay, they're, like, really rich, they live a really good life, and then one of them's just like, oh, I just feel this yearning to get out there and explore, you know? And it's like, well,
the Frozen movies don't seem up to, like, usual Disney standard, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. And, like, I feel like all these main characters would have, like, I can just picture them having Instagrams and just really unbearable, you know, hashtag Wonderlust, hashtag never stop exploring. They're just really unlikable. And, like, the Joker, a few weeks ago, I reviewed, and I said that it felt like it was made by 18-year-old boys. Mm. This one feels like maybe 16-year-old girls made it. But just basic characters, I reckon.
Andrew, are you going to check out Frozen 2?
I think I said last week that I don't actually watch any movies.
This is Paul, do you not find that shocking?
Yeah, it's pretty shocking.
I just don't have the attention span for it. Well, I say that, but I sit through like multiple basketball games a week.
Yeah.
Which is far more boring than any movie is going to be a lot of the time.
Why don't you take your NBA app and go to the movies and watch the basketball while the movie's on?
I hate going to the movies themselves. Like, if I'm going to watch a movie, I'll be at home.
This is amazing because you're the opposite of Paul.
Yeah. Well, okay, so you go to the movies and there's idiots there on their phones talking and chewing loudly.
What movies are you in the West Auckland movies here?
No, I don't even. I go to like the capital, the leader, because that minimizes that.
Wow!
But still, you get it.
You go to the hips. You got to
You got to sit
phones.
Far away from people.
I know. If someone's talking on their phone in the movies, I'll go talk to them.
But even just checking their phone in the middle of it, or opening a packet, or eating popcorn.
Oh, that's me.
I need to be at home.
It sounds like the problem's you, though.
Oh, it's 100% me.
Like, because you must have problems on, like, this must drive you crazy. Like, international travel must drive you crazy.
I hate international travel.
Yeah, like, just other people is your problem.
Yep.
Wow. Oh, that's fascinating.
But back to Frozen 2. Like, what are these characters, what are they into? Like, they have no kind of hobbies. They're just, like, these real rich people.
Yeah.
And at one stage, they play Celebrity Bowl. You know, that game where you... Well, it's actually... Yeah, they're just playing more like charades. Yeah, they're playing charades, I think.
But is it an app?
Anyway, Alza sucks at it. Huh?
Alza sucks at Celebrity Boggle.
No, it's not Boggle. You know, like, they're just playing charades, I realize. It's not Celebrity. But
are they guessing celebrities? Do celebrities exist in the Frozen
No, they're
universe?
Not playing celebrities. They're playing charades.
Well, why did you say Celebrity Boggle?
Because I got the game confused. Celebrity Bowl. But, okay, the second movie I watched...
Another review!
Yeah.
So Frozen, how many stars does it get?
Two stars.
That's pretty good.
That's not very good.
I might check it out.
And then the second film is Knives Out. Awesome flick. Very fun. Classic detective story.
I've never heard of Knives Out. What is this?
It's got a few famous actors in it. Daniel Craig, James Bond, plays a detective. It's getting really good reviews, I think.
Oh, it's I know what it is. You got to kind of describe what the movie is. It's a dark comedy set around the death of a billionaire who and the family is fighting over his estate, right?
Yeah, kind of. Well, I wouldn't say it's not that funny, I don't think, but it's like a detective story is what I think I just described it as.
The trailer looks like it makes it look like a wacky comedy, but sometimes the trailer is cut by people other than the director and the movie producers. And stuff.
Yeah.
I'd love to see this movie.
There's definitely, I think there's funny bits, but...
Paul, should I make this my movie that I go to this year?
I think it's pretty good. I really enjoyed it. I'd watch it again.
Does your I'm not the ideal partner by any stands. I pity anyone who has to be in a relationship with me, especially my partner. But I will say this: does your partner enjoy movies?
No, not especially.
Okay, because yeah. It's TV shows. It's tumultuous being in a relationship with someone if you're like, I want to go on a lovely date to the movies. It's a nice date idea.
No.
Okay, there's a dodge that bullet.
Okay, third...
No more movie reviews from you. I can't hear any more movies from you. I just wanted to finish on Andrew. What makes you pick your two movies you go to per year?
Well, it usually gets to the end of the year in December, and I'm like, I haven't seen a movie this year. I should probably go.
So have you not been to a movie in this year?
I don't think so.
Have you seen a movie on TV?
Yeah.
What about the classics?
Two or three on TV.
Do you ever, there's some movies that are so good. Like, we went to Pulp Fiction at the cinema the other day, and it was just so good.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen Pulp Fiction.
Obviously. Yeah. But, like you must... There's a lot of good movies out there. You haven't seen... If you're watching two a year, there must be thousands you haven't seen that are good.
Absolutely, yeah. I think I saw Dunkirk last year.
That's no good.
No, yeah.
Dunkirk, yeah, trash. Poor movie review. Dunkirk's trash, eh?
I don't think it's great.
It was just great sound effects and kind of cool visual effects.
Dunkirk and Isle of Dogs were my two movies last year.
Isle of Dogs, trash.
I was disappointed with both of them.
Yeah, but that's because I think you're picking bad movies. Maybe we can work you into movies.
Films, okay, films of the year this year, for me, Parasite, Marriage Story.
Is Parasite the Korean film?
Yeah. And then Marriage Story, which I just saw a couple weeks ago. Knives Out is pretty fun. It's up there for most enjoyable film. I quite liked the Maradona docos. A good watch.
That was a good watch. You watch a doco, Andrew.
And I really liked Taika's new film, Jojo Rabbit. I really enjoyed it.
Shout out to New Zealand.
It's getting mixed responses from people I know, but I thought it was a good film.
I think Jojo Rabbit is getting mixed responses more for the subject matter rather than the film itself. Like it dances on really crazy, you know, it's crazy topic, so like if you don't nail that, then people are going to hate it for other reasons. Which are totally justified, but
I should probably see that, shouldn't I?
Well, as a New Zealander, you probably should. Yeah,
maybe I'll make that my film of the year.
Andrew's film of the year. Well, hey, maybe one of these weeks we can get a film review from Andrew. Paul, thank you for your film reviews and your lovely contributions from the town of London.
Thanks for having me.
That's all for Advanced Analytics this week. I've been Guy Williams.
I don't do that anymore.
I'm with Paul.
Wait.
Yeah.
The first week you opted out of it, the second week you did it, and now you're opting out again.
Yeah, I preferred the first week.
You guys sometimes just seem like cabbages. Shout out to JJ Barea. Check him out. Watch some NBA and see if he's still flamethrowing people next week. Peace.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.